Okay, everyone, we're ready to get started here on the teaching portion of our get-together today.
Yes.
Donna has asked me to share this morning, and it's, how would I put it? I'm trying to think if someone's ever asked me to share if I said no. In fact, what strikes me is usually the word yes comes out of my mouth and I go, oh no, what did I just do? I don't have anything ready and it's so-and-so, you know? So somehow it just, yes seems to come out. It's like almost, it's uncontrollable. Yeah, seriously, because then I go, what did I just do to myself? Now I got to get this prepared. No, I really do enjoy it. And over time, those of you who get to share too, you know that no matter how much or little time you have, the Holy Spirit gives you what you need, when you need it, and it's there. So I've never afterwards regretted doing it. Maybe in the short term, I'm going, oh boy, I'm under pressure now. But yeah, so let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you today for your word and that it is truth, the truth. In fact, the only truth that we can be sure of. And so we look forward to what you, Holy Spirit, are going to show you about your truth today and how we apply it to our lives and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Because to me, how would I put it? I have a way of telling if those who have listened to me got it or not. Do you know what I mean by got it? I mean, and I explain to people, I go, you can listen to what I'm telling you. You can understand it. In fact, I can listen to you tell someone else what I shared. And you say, yeah, they have the knowledge. They have the understanding. But I say, you really don't got it until you live it. Because if it's the word of God, and you know God has his best, notice I choose the word his best interest for you, not your best interest for you. But God has his best interest for your life. And we can find that in his word if you have the knowledge and you have the understanding and you're not living it, there's a disconnect somewhere. And it can be a number of different things. It could be that, well, we hope it's not the first. You just don't believe that what God has for you is the truth. Or that you don't trust God and have faith that he's going to do that in your life. So there's a disconnect somewhere. But that's how I can tell if someone's got it. Are you living it? And how would I put it? That's biblical too, if you want to study it out and read it out. So that's usually what I'm looking for in people's lives. And not that I'm judging someone else, but and say I'm looking for it, but it's evident. You can see it even when someone else is sharing. Say pastor's sharing something or Randy is sharing something. And then you'll see someone walking that out in their life. You go, they got that. They got that. And so that's what I'm always praying for. First for myself, that I get it. You know, I need to get it too. As much as when I'm up here speaking, trust me, it's as much for me as it is for you. In fact, sometimes even more so. Randy and I were talking about it in advance. Sometimes God gives you things just for you. He knows you need this right now in your life. And for me, what I try to do is be sure, because it can be easy to think, oh, God gave me this for me. Everyone must need this right now. Well, if it's God's word, it's good for everybody, but that might not be what they need to hear right now. God may say, but share this with them. And so I'm always checking in with God going, okay, what do you want to get to them? Knowing that if he wants you to get it, he wants me to get it too. So as I was preparing for this, I actually shared all that because it's how I do it every time before I share with you guys. I've gotten through this with God. We have a conversation. And once again, whether I hear a voice, but there's a leading. But I always pose to him, what is it you want me to share? What do those you are going to put me in front of need to hear? And I find without fail, God gives me something. And sometimes he'll even impress upon me that there's someone there that really needs this. And if one person needs it, he'll have you share it. You know, and sometimes it's for the whole group. Sometimes he's wanting to get something to somebody. And I go, well, there's one or if it's the whole group, I'm sharing it. I know that's what I'm supposed to share. And I really love it when, how would I put it? He convinces me that was it. This time it was really easy in that Donna asked me, I'll say about 3 weeks ago, if I would be willing to share this morning. And I said, once again, yes, just came out. I mean, it was instantly, but yet I didn't know what I was going to share. It was just yes. But I can tell you that within a day, I was minding my own business. And this is often how I know it's God, because it's not something that I'm studying out, I'm trying to find out in God's word or something. Just out of, almost like out of the blue, it's like this word comes before me, and it's, that's it. And it was just one word. Now with me, it's often a full verse or something, but in this case, it was just one word. I'm like, okay. And I got to share with a few of you, because we're going to do this a little different today. I'm going to share just for a little bit, maybe 15 minutes or less. And then we're going to open it up to you, because what we're going to do is look at some specific verses that talk about this word. And then looking for feedback from you is, okay, how do we do that in our lives? In other words, how do we take the word that we just heard and how do we apply that in our lives? What does it look like to you? So I'm going to open that up to everybody. So it's just not going to be me speaking to you. It's going to be everyone included here today. And I let a few of you know in advance so you could be somewhat prepared so that when I ask the question, no one would answer. Because I am looking for feedback. Because I had thoughts as I did it and going, oh, that's what that would look like. And I go, wonder what that would look like to somebody else. Because have you ever noticed, we get a chance to, as I'm traveling, we'll go to places where, okay, we got to climb that mountain and go down the other side because there's a group on the other side of that hasn't been reached yet. And we can look at that mountain going, you're not getting up that thing. But then someone else will say, but if you go over here, around where you can't see, you can make it up over there. And so sometimes by seeing it from a different point of view, you can see ways of accomplishing things that you can't see just looking here. So sometimes when I get to hear from someone else, I go, ah, I'll remember that, you know. I can work that in this way, okay. So I like seeing it, the word we would use is looking like at a gem or something in different facets, looking at it from different sides and see how it can be applied to our lives. So the word, the one word he gave me was the word diligent. This word is used in the form diligent or diligently 39 times in the Bible. And usually when I look at something like that, I go, must means God thinks it's somewhat important. You know, he didn't just throw it in there once or twice. It's in there 39 different times. And so when he gave me that word this time, because it was just a single word, I looked up all of the verses that had diligent or diligently in them. And then I said, okay, God, we can't cover all 39 of these on Saturday morning or we won't be done until Saturday afternoon. Okay? So which ones do you want me to pull out? So I pulled out about a half a dozen of them that we're going to look at in detail. But what I first want to do is grab something out of my pocket. What I first want to do is put this way. Because of the word diligent, it's something that we have to do. Okay? And when anything becomes something that we have to do, it's easy to get over into works. And what God impressed upon me was, and it's something I've shared in different ways, in different times when God's had me talk about different things in God's word is, one of the things we want to be careful of is not to turn it into works. Because you could turn this into works, is what I'm saying. The key is, I like looking at, once again, words in the Bible, because that's the way God has made me. I one time looked through the Bible to see how many times the word try is in the Bible. Try. And it's less than a half a dozen times. So it's not, and in fact, what you'll find is God really doesn't ask you to tell you to try to do anything. Okay? Because see, trying actually leaves the opening for failure. It's right in the word, try. Because when you try, you can either succeed or fail. Okay? So God's word isn't about try this. It's about do this and rely on me to be able to do this. So as we're doing even this in the word diligent, let's look at it like, yeah, I'm not going to try this, or this is just not me and my effort doing this. I'm going to rely on God because he said this is what I need to do. And if he said this is what I need to do, he's going to equip me to be able to do it. So I just need to be able to rely on him to be able to do it in the way that I'm supposed to do it. And it's not about me trying. To me, knowing that gets my mindset off of works. You know, it's like, it's just not me trying to do this because God said so. But it's because God wants me to do it. We'll see in these places as we look in the Word, this is what God wants us to do. And in specific areas, I was sharing this in general. Pops is in here this morning, but I shared with him about the word diligent and told him that we were going to look at certain verses. And he says, well, to me, it's just the whole Bible. And in a way, he's right, okay? But the Bible actually breaks it down to be diligent in specific areas. He says, I need to be diligent to do everything that the whole Word of God says. So, and you can take it that way and not be wrong, is what I'm saying. But we're going to look at some specific verses, okay? So, now one of the things I also like to do, if you'll ever notice me teaching, is if I'm talking about a specific word or something, like I've taught here on love, and I've taught on peace, and I've taught on joy, God always has impressed upon me is for you to have an understanding and to know what God's word is telling you, you have to understand what that word actually means. In other words, if you don't know what it is, everything I'm telling you about it, you're going to go, so what? How does this apply? So I like looking at the word itself first. And I know I've shared this before. This is my own plug, and it's not, how about it? We'll call it something worldly. But I will tell you, Noah Webster's dictionary, the original Webster's dictionary back in 1828, actually gives some of the best definitions for words that you'll find. And you can pull it up online, just put in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Part of the reason I like it is he was a man of God. And in almost all of his definitions, he incorporates Scripture. He'll say, this is what the word means, and it's used here in God's word. And here's what it meant in God's word, and he'll explain it right out of Scripture. I love that. I like seeing someone who's defining the words based what they mean biblically, okay? And I can tell you, I've then gone and looked up those same words in modern day dictionaries and found out that it's the world's definition. And it has nothing to do with, and you can't get to God's version of it if you're trying to do this one. So I highly recommend going back to that one if you're really looking to see the definition of a word. Okay, so let's look at the definition from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary of the word. And the word diligent means steadily applied. Steadily applied. Constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. I'll say that again. Constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. And then he adds one other word. We're going to look at this separately. Attentive. So that's the definition if you go back and look at his dictionary. Okay? We're going to look at parts of this here. First, I want you to pay attention to the words steadily and constant in effort. So, this is where we got into why I mentioned works right from the beginning. There's effort involved. That meaning means we have a part, or it would take no effort. In other words, there's effort or exertion to do this. This is not something that happens just because it happens. Okay? And that's what we need to think of about diligence, being diligent or acting diligently doesn't happen by mistake. And I guess that's one of the key things that stood out to me. It doesn't happen by mistake, okay? It means that there should never, it says steadily and constant in effort. constant and effort means there should never be a time when we're not doing whatever it is we're supposed to be doing. Because if there was even one moment, then it wouldn't be constant, right? Okay? This is from the definition. So we have to remain constant doing this all the time, not even for a single moment. Now I want to look at just that last word that was in there. It said attentive. And when I read it, this is what jumped out at me right away in my mind. You will find if you are not attentive, you will not know if you're being constant. In other words, if you think it's just happening and you're not paying any attention to it, you can find that that'll start slipping and you may not be doing it. In other words, the attentive is, am I being constant in being diligent or am I not? Now, once again, this is not something you look at someone else and judge that, but we are to judge ourselves. And so it's actually a good thing to go, am I being constantly diligent in the things that God tells me I'm to be constantly diligent in, and be attentive to those things. Now, once again, we can't be attentive to them to see if we are or not if we don't know what they are, which is why we're going to look at a few of them now. And I would encourage you, those who I didn't get a chance to speak to in advance, go back in and look at the other ones that we're not going to mention today. As I said, he just had me pull out a half a dozen or so of them and look at them. Now, I will say a couple of them are repeated. In other words, it'll say do this, and then somewhere else it'll say do the same thing, and somewhere else it'll say do the same thing. And you'll probably know some of those right when I share them. You'll think, well, that's throughout God's Word. It tells us where to do that. But in each of these cases, it says be diligent in these things. Now, the way my mind also works, telling on myself, I don't know if anyone else does this, I'm going, kind of like what Pop says, he just says, well, it covers everything in the Word. Because my first thought was, well, what about all the things that it doesn't say diligently before? Do we need to be diligent in those? And my general answer was, the conclusion was yes. But what I also look at is when he tells me to be diligent in something, that means he wants me to be attentive to it. In other words, he in his Word has made it a point, be diligent in these areas. So in my mind, it takes my mind to, okay, he told me to be diligent here, and he told me to be diligent here, so I need to be diligent in those areas. So, and you can't know those unless you see them in God's Word. So I encourage you to go in. I think all of you have Bible applications or the availability to do a word search and see where a certain word or the form of the word is used at. I'll recommend whichever version you use. Hop in and do that. Take a look at it so that you do see them all. Okay. So the first one we're going to look at, and this isn't in order like going through the Bible, although I think what we have first is we have, yep, Old Testament first and the New Testament. But I do have one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6 before the other one where it's found, but for a reason. God had me share them in this way. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17. And this one really covers what Pop said in a way. It's like the general one that kind of creates an overall picture. Deuteronomy 6:17. If you're there, those of you who have your Bibles or your electronic format of your word, it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. So that's quite general. If God told you to do it, be diligent in doing it. And that's really what we have in God's word, is he tells us in there, if we're to be doing it, he tells us. Okay? And so this one is kind of the cover-all. So this would cover Pop's answer to it. So the way it's worded, it says, and you shall keep diligent the commandments of the Lord your God. And we're not talking, and I think everyone here knows this, we're not talking the Ten Commandments. Are they part of it? Yeah. But everything that God says, whether it says, and I command you to do this or not, it doesn't take that to be a commandment. Like, say, for example, I've taught here on Galatians 5:16, which says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not a suggestion by God. It's a commandment. Walk in the Spirit. And he even tells you why. So that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in other words, there it gives you the command, but then he says, and here's the result of doing what I'm telling you you're supposed to do. I like it when he does that. Makes it plain and simple. He shows me the benefit right along with what I'm supposed to do. Because I don't know about any of you, I find a lot of people are like that. I try not to be that way. For me, if God says it, I need to do it whether I can see the result or not. Because he told me to do it. But it is kind of nice, especially when you're sharing with others that may not know God quite like you, if you can say, if you'll do this, this is going to happen. There are things in the Word that the Bible will talk about that will even say, even for someone who's unsaved, if they'll apply this biblical principle, they'll see it work in their life. Because there are certain things God's put in place that will work both for the believer and the non-believer. Now, there are many, and God differentiates, there are promises just to the believer. They're not for the unbeliever. And there we shouldn't make the mistake thinking that, oh, it's going to work for them. Because it won't. Okay? But there are certain things, and God makes it clear in his word, even if the unbeliever does this, it's going to work because it's a principle God has put into place. And there's no going around this. It's going to work if they'll do it. So it's kind of nice being able to say, if you'll do this, this will happen. So, but in this case, the first thing we need to be diligent with is everything. How's that? If God says to do it, do it. But let's get a little more specific. What are some of the way I like to word it, what are some of the everything? Okay. Yeah, everything means all this. So what are some of the everything that he details in his word to us? Well, this one actually doesn't get too much of the detail, but it says to someone that you are to share this with. This is a little bit different than all the rest of them. If you look back in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, this speaks more to parents / adults and what they are to do with what they are commanded to do. Deuteronomy 6, 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. The them is what we're talking about, all the commandments of God. That's what's being talked about in this section. So, and it says, you shall be diligent or teach them diligently to your children. So that's the job of parents / adults, teachers, whoever is in the positions of authority, leadership. We must be diligent, meaning constantly, all the time, paying attention that we're doing it all the time. We need to be constantly teaching this to our children. Here's what God says we're to do, and so we need to do it. Because that's what it's talking about. What has God commanded us to do? And once again, they're not going to know if someone doesn't tell them about it. So God's saying we, as the adults, / parents, leaders, teachers, need to be doing that diligently. That's one of the things that we need to be diligent about. So I'm going to throw this out. Have any of you, and I'm guessing most of you, because many of you have children. In fact, all but probably two in this room have children. Okay? Have you seen how being diligent at sharing this truth with your children has played out in their lives? Do you find that because you were diligent, they are now diligent in doing 6:17? So in other words, you were diligent in teaching them all the commands of God so that they are now diligent to keeping all the commands of God. So in other words, it's gone from you being diligent in teaching to them being diligent in walking out what you taught them. See, so we can actually look at our lives and say, yep, that worked. That's what God wanted. And because I was diligent in this, I can see the result of being diligent, me doing what God wanted me to do in the life of my children or those who were put under my authority because of the way they're now living their lives. The key is then to encourage them to be diligent to do the same thing. In other words, this is a cycle that goes on and on and on through generation and generation and generation. So each then child, as they become older, needs to hear this same exhortation. Be diligent in this. Be diligent in this. Keep sharing this to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, so that you can see the fruit that God wants them to have in their lives of walking this out the way God wants them to in their lives. Because if you stop being diligent, you don't want to see the outcome. Okay? And we can see it. You've probably all seen it in lives where you can see things going, where'd the disconnect happen? Well, it's probably there was a place where they weren't diligent, maybe in an area, you know? So be diligent. Now, with that being said, how would I put it? Not to put judgment, let's say, on any specific adult. Sometimes you can be diligent and the child's still going to do what they're going to do. Okay? When they get older, is what I'm saying. But the Bible does tell us that if we train them up in the right way. And so that's our part. Once they become at the age of accountability, they're going to do what they're going to do. But the chances of them doing the right thing are much better if we've been diligent in this in the very first place, is what I'm saying. Okay? And I'm sure you all know all of this. So we're just looking at some of it to kind of bring it before your eyes. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23. Give you a second to get there. Takes a little bit longer for those that have the hard copy. Although I like having a hard copy. For some reason, I use electronic format every minute I'm at home. Whenever I'm preparing teachings, when I'm sharing these teachings, for some reason, and I really haven't really tried to figure out why, when I'm sitting in a service and someone's teaching me, I just like having my Bible there to flip through it. Does it take an extra minute or so? Yeah, but for some reason, I just like doing it that way. And maybe that's just me because I'm strange. I don't know. Haven't really tried to figure it out. I just like flipping through my Bible and coming up. In fact, what's interesting is, and I'm sure those who are still using their Bibles, especially if they use the same one for any period of time, they can't tell you what the scripture and verse is, but they can tell you it's on the right-hand side about halfway down on this column. You just learn it's right there. I know it's right there. In other words, it's in the Word, and I can tell you. And so you can just flip through the pages. Well, it's in this book, and it's over here. So I just look in this spot, and I'll find it. I have a lot of those in my Bible. Like, where's that found? Oh, it's on the right-hand column about halfway down. That doesn't really help the other person a lot, but it helps me find it when I've got my Bible with me. So Proverbs 27:23. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. How many in here have flocks or herds? Raise your hands. Anybody? You have flocks and you have herds. What do you have flocks of? Okay. Now, what I'm saying is in the literal sense, we may not have flocks and herds today. There are some who do. If you're a farmer, you may have a herd of cattle. Most of my uncles, my grandfather was a farmer. He had 200 head of cattle. And that went on to one of my uncles. And so several of them had flocks and herds. And they raised all sorts of different animals. They grew up on farms. Everyone on my mother's side did. So I was around flocks and herds all the time. So, but for most of us today, and as we see in here, except for his hair follicles, we really don't have flocks and herds today. So what does this mean to us today? That's what I'm looking for. Anybody have something to share? What does this mean to you? When you read this, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. What does it mean? Go ahead. Okay, that's what it is, but what I will ask is why do you need to be diligent with it? Because that's what we're talking about. So you define what it is. It is a commandment, and all these are diligently commanded. Why? That's... That's what it gets down to. You see, God wants us to live our lives a certain way. And God has given us things. Those things that you're talking about there, these flocks and these herds, guess who got that to them? God did. The things that you have in your life, God ultimately is the one that got them to you. Now, did you work? Right. Did you work? Did you do labor for them? Well, God gave you the skills to do the work. He also gave you the job so that you could have a job to do the work, to get the pay, to buy the flocks, herds, whatever it is you now have in your possessions. And that's really what we're talking about here, flocks and herds. What do you have? What has God given you now that is yours? And what this is saying is be diligent. In other words, it's like using the word take an inventory of. What has God given me? And pay attention to it so that the thief isn't going to come and steal it. See, if you don't know what you have and you're not watching over, being diligent to watch over. It says watch over your flocks and your herds. The things that God has blessed you with, you can find out those things start slipping away from you. Okay? And he's saying, I blessed you with these things. Pay attention to what I bless you with because I've given them to you, and I've given them to you for a reason. They're not something that you just need to let slip away because you aren't paying attention to them. You don't pay attention to the flock or the herd, and then one of them may drift off somewhere. Okay? So you need to be paying attention to what God's given you because he's given it to you for a reason. He hasn't given it to you just to say, yeah, I'm God, I can give it to you, which he can. But he does these with a purpose. And if you just let these things slide, then they won't be there when you actually need to use them for what God wants you to use it for. So you need to be diligent over one of the things you mentioned was your finances. There are a lot of people in this world that don't pay attention to their finances. And you know what? Their life shows it. Their life is a mess because they don't pay attention to their finances, which God has given them. And they've got more going out every day than they've got coming in. Okay? And they don't even know it until they wind up getting the bills and they're thousands and thousands and tens of thousands in debt. If they were paying attention from the beginning, they wouldn't wind up being where they're at now. Okay? So you need to pay attention to what God has given you so that you are then able to manage them in the way that he would have you manage them. Okay? But if you're not paying any attention and being diligent, you'll find out that stuff just goes away. Yes. Yeah. In fact, we may get to that down the road. Yes. Yeah, well, and that's actually one thing about this being diligent. You'll find out what you're interested in because you'll be diligent in the things that you're interested in. If you're not so interested in it, you'll find, yeah, I may not be too diligent there. So it'll actually give you a way to say, okay, am I really interested here? And it's part of the reason for looking at some of the verses we're looking at because we may hit one of those and you may go, you don't have to raise your hand and say, I'm not real diligent in that one. But he may go, hey, you know, you need to start being diligent in this one. That's why I'm going to encourage you to look back because that could be something different for each one of us. Maybe there's something that I'm diligent in and you're not. And then vice versa, we get to another one and it's the other way around. God is just pointing out to us some here, be diligent in this because I'm telling you, be diligent in this. But you will find out that what you are, I don't know if concerned is the right word. That which you deem important, you will tend to be more diligent about. You will be looking at it, paying attention to it. Remember that word at the end, paying attention? And keeping a watchful eye on it so that it is producing the way God would have it produce in your life. Okay? Be it relationships. specifically with your children as they change, or with your finances.